This is Andrea Chase, and I'm talking with Robert Pattinson about Twilight, the much anticipated film version of Stephenie Meyer's wildly popular novel about love, high school vampires, and a whole lot of rain in the Pacific Northwest. Pattinson plays Edward, a vampire who has been 17 years old for 90 years. Naturally, he's broody, but he falls hard for the first time in either of his lives, undead and other, for Bella, the new kid in the small town where he lives, opening himself up for even more complications than a young man with a taste for blood already has. Pattinson's previous work includes playing Cedric Diggory in two of the Harry Potter films, and he will soon be seen as another sort of fantasy figure, Salvador Dali, and I've completely forgotten the name of that film. So,
Little Ashes.
And I'm going to start with a semi-serious question.
Oh, okay.
It's very important, though, in playing this character, getting the hair just right.
I know. That, it's become such a bizarre phenomenon. I mean, like, I literally, all I wanted out of that was to not have a specific hairstyle, and it turned into the most specific hairstyle you could possibly imagine. Like, which, yeah, I just, I don't know, I just kind of, I'd been in another film where they were messing with my hair all the time, and so I was like, I just want to have, like, just messy hair, and it just literally turned into this kind of 1950s, like, bouffant, like, I don't know how it happened.
When I saw the pictures of you as this, all I could think was, your character was saying that the best music was from the 50s.
Mm-hmm.
And I have another sort of semi-serious question, and I know you've actually talked to Stephenie Meyer about this character, and you've read The Midnight Sun, which is the first book from Edward's point of view. There was one part where he's talking to Bella, and he says he really loved the music of the 50s, and then music didn't get good again until the 80s.
So I remember that.
He's like dissing the Stones and the Beatles.
I know, he's like, that's, I mean, that just literally means he's completely tasteless.
Obviously. Okay, thank you. I feel so much better.
I mean, literally, the 80s was like, you know, it was a little bit ropey.
I want to get just a little bit philosophical with you, if I could. I know it's the end of a long day and a long tour, but you've been part of two fantasy franchises that are just huge. And I was wondering if you have any thoughts about what it is about myth and fantasy that human beings crave so much.
I think definitely in Harry Potter, it was just, it's something about them being books as well, that you can really, there's something easier about a book to commit to, because you can really, you have to be by yourself, like you can really lock yourself away. And also the fact that these two phenomenons, the Harry Potter books were long, as are the Twilight books, and I think people want to have something which they can, I mean, for escapism, you want to be escaping for a while.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So the fact that they're long, especially Harry Potter, that they're long series, and like, people just want to remain in this world, I think, anyway. I mean, Harry Potter is such a sort of, it's a universe which you can go into, whereas with Twilight, it's kind of, it goes the opposite direction. It's much more internal. But it's so lingering, and it stays on so few characters, and goes kind of so personal into those characters, that you can kind of lose yourself, not in the fantasy world, but just literally in someone else's head. And it is like reading somebody else's diary in a lot of ways, the Twilight things.
A little bit of voyeurism.
Yeah, that's what I felt. I mean, when I was convinced before I met Stephenie Meyer that she was just some mad person who thought she was Bella, and Edward was her ideal man in her head, and it was uncomfortable in a lot of places, but I met her and she's actually not though.
I'm curious, because this has put a lot of attention on you personally. What is the best and worst thing about being the object of cult adoration?
It's strange, because it's not, because the movie hasn't come out, I don't like claiming anything. So, I mean, it's the book. People love the book so much, and they've just transferred their affection for that onto the people in the movie. And so I'd feel like an idiot going around going like, oh, you know, it's because my performance is so fantastic. I mean, it's like in the trailer, like, I don't know. It hasn't really, I can't really accept it. I mean, I kind of go into a room where there's, I mean, going around the world with all, like, literally going to a room, there's tons of people screaming. And then you leave, and then there's like nothing. No one knows who you are. Like, but it is, and it's funny as well how last year, you know, you're sort of struggling for jobs one year, and then the next year it's like you're on the front of every magazine. So, okay, well.
You had a very interesting take on your character and Bella, Edward and Bella. You didn't want them to have any physical contact in the film, which I think visually would have been,
I mean, great.
Delicious.
I know.
Yes,
it's so annoying. Well, it's just, the annoying thing is they do touch in the book. And a lot of the things which I kind of got obsessed with in my character thing, they just weren't there in the book. and I kind of got a little bit carried away with how I wanted to play it. And it's hard as well to shoot that in the way which makes it not random and awkward. It takes a lot of thought to get it, and also to make it not boring. But I like the idea of him only, because in the book it says it hurts him to touch her, it burns him, and I just thought, like, that would be such an interesting thing, that the three times he ever touches her, when he saves her life, when he tries to kiss her and almost kills her, and the third time when he's saving her life. And there was another scene, because we shot certain scenes first, and we shot this scene in a hospital when, just after the big fight with James, and she's critically injured. And I sort of did this where you sort of kissed her on the forehead, and it's kind of, and everything, every single time, I was trying to make it look very painful, like, which I think shows, like, so much, like, it's so sort of touching for, like, a two lovers, where it's like every single time there's a physical manifestation of it being impossible, like, the whole time, where even just a touch, it's like incredibly painful to touch her, to smell her, to look at her, everything is painful. And you know it's impossible at the same time, but yet you still can't. I just wanted to make it as extreme as possible.
I know for the Harry Potter films, you had to learn to scuba dive. And in this one, did you have to do your own wire? Did you do any wire work?
I did tons, yeah. Yes. I mean, some of it, I mean, some of the, there were some stunts in it which were ridiculously dangerous. Like, there's a 60-foot, there's a thing where they're jumping through trees, and there's a wire work which you're going 35 miles an hour, and literally just hitting the guy who did it just had a chest pad, and he just hit it, and so I was like, oh, that's fine, he can do that one. I mean, there wasn't even much of a stunt to it. It was literally like just get thrown into a tree.
Did you have a fear of heights before this, or did you develop one in the course of being swung around on a wire?
Didn't. I was in a hotel the other day, and I suddenly did have like a massive attack of vertigo. It's the first time it's happened in my life. So maybe I did.
It's a little post-traumatic.
Yeah.
Perhaps. Robert Pattinson, thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you.